It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 239. I am your host, Adam Mangum. Jerem Jordan of BYU TV joins the show to discuss the biggest takeaways from BYU Football Media Day. Matt and I then break down those storylines, including the return of Jamal Williams, Taysom being the guy, and Ty Detmer's outlook for his first-year offense. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, and listen to us yap right now. Welcoming back to the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, a true gamer. He's doing this from vacation, ladies and gentlemen, Jerem Jordan of BYU TV. Jerem, welcome to the podcast.
Adam, it is great to be back, and in theory, I have more time to hang out on vacation than I would normally, so why not on vacation, you know?
It's true, and being on this podcast is not work. I mean, it's just, it's pure...
It's true.
It's pure awesome.
It is pure awesome. See? Also, I am joining the Warriors, so I wanted to make that public.
Oh, yeah, see? There you go. There you go. I like it. So let's jump into something, because we've got an important topic that you have not weighed in on. It's been, I think, almost 3 months since we had you on, which is like the largest gap we've ever had. But here's the deal. We've had some discussions about on the podcast about certain people versus Jason Bourne, okay? Like, who could win, all right? My brother Matt is a Jason Bourne fanboy, as am I. I love the movies and all that. But I would like you to weigh in on Jason Bourne versus Batman. Who wins that fight?
You mean Jason Bourne Identity?
Yeah.
Have you seen that Jimmy Kimmel skit?
Yes, I have seen the Jimmy Kimmel skit. Have you also seen where Matt Damon is calling people and giving them instructions like a spy?
No,
it's for charity. He's doing something for charity. That one's funny too, but no, it's not as funny as the Jimmy Kimmel skit.
Jason Bourne versus Batman. Batman destroys him because he has all these tools. You know, well, Jason Bourne is just like the greatest individual one-on-one, like hand-to-hand combat, no weapons fighter.
Well, right? it depends. I mean, there's a ballpoint pen
and stuff, I guess.
If there's a ballpoint pen, I mean, Jason Bourne's been proven
to
knock out other assassins with a ballpoint pen.
Isn't it? It'd be like the matchup. Great matchups make great fights, right? So
absolutely.
I think it's like Jack Bauer versus Jason Bourne would be the one to me.
What about James Bond?
That'd be a good one. That'd be in the spirit of July 4th, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
The Great Britain versus American spy hero, Jason Bourne Identity.
Well, I'm just glad there's another Jason Bourne movie, Jerem, with Jason Bourne in it.
Matt Damon, because the other one was garbage.
Yeah, the other one where you're like, wait a second. I sat down, we watched it in the theater, and my wife turns to me and she says, where's Matt Damon? Like, we're 30 minutes in. And I'm like, he's not in this one. And she's like, why are we here? I don't know.
Know.
Hawkeye.
I was Hawkeye, what are you doing?
Well, and then she was like, this could have been like an origin movie for Hawkeye. And I was excited for two reasons. Number one, my wife, who is not a geek, used the term origin movie, which was fantastic. But secondly, she was right. It could have been a Hawkeye origin movie. The first 30 minutes could have been that. But so let's jump in. We had you on to talk BYU Football Media Day. So let's talk about some of the big storylines that came out of there. I think the biggest one that, I don't know if it surprised people, but it certainly was one that everyone was talking about on Twitter and you guys talked a bit about, and then about Mr. Taysom Hill saying if there was a game today, he's in. Was that a surprise to you, or is that just, he's like Adrian Peterson. You're just not, he comes back from an injury super fast, and you're like, whatever. It's just what Taysom does.
Yeah, what would surprise us from Taysom Hill? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's almost unsurprisable because we believe he's capable of just about anything on either direction, right? He's capable of getting hurt in the first half. He's capable of being a finalist for the Heisman in New York. Like, that's the spectrum with him. So I was surprised in that moment, and I'm the one that asked the question. I wanted to know, right? Like, let's get some hard answers out of this conversation. He's good because he'll answer your question. And he answered the question. It was, yeah, I could play the thing. Now, I don't know how much of that is him lobbying publicly. because if he's healthy, he's the guy. Like,
right.
100% mark it down. If he doesn't start, it's because he cannot. Like, that's why would he come back if he wasn't going to start? He came back because he's going to play, baby, and he's going to be healthy at least for that part of that first game, and we want him to be healthy for the whole season, but we are going to be on pins and needles the whole season regardless with him. Luckily, Tanner Mangum's there, but yeah, I was surprised and excited by that because that means two healthy quarterbacks is a great thing for BYU.
Now, you said that Trevor Maddich said it on ESPN the evening of media day, which, by the way, is great that we had BYU got some coverage on ESPN for their media day. So Trevor says that you say that. There's a lot of fans, Jerem, that are, and I'm not saying like crazy fans. I'm talking about pretty reasonable fans that just are saying, well, can't we just turn this team over to Tanner and be done with the Taysom Hill deal because he's been injured twice before. But everybody you talk to, like Trevor Maddich, other experts, they all like want to. Their response to that is that sounds crazy. So tell me, why is that crazy instead of trusting Taysom with the team is crazy?
I think that Tanner Mangum will have his time, and that might be as soon as fill in the blank, right? Like,
right.
That was the case last year. And he's ready to rock, and he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks that BYU's ever had. But with Taysom Hill, he just gives you an extra dimension, right? What he was doing in that first game against Nebraska, I don't agree with this sentiment, but here's just the, one end of the spectrum. Steve Young told us one time, he said, in that first half, he thought, Taysom Hill is going to win the Heisman. Like, he was thinking that big because Taysom was on pace for a 400-100, has only been done once, I think ever, and it was by him against Houston, or it's been done, it's only been done like 7 or 8 times, and the most recent one was by Taysom. He just gives you a different gear. Like, he's a unique kind of car. All the other cars go 5 gears. He goes into this hybrid 6th gear with his legs that gives you an opportunity in any game against any team, almost, right?
Right.
Not every, like, at Michigan State, there may not be necessarily, like at Michigan last year, there may not have been anything BYU could have done to win that game, but they could have been in that game. So I want to see what Taysom Hill can do. 2013, he's a young sophomore. BYU installs a new offense. They play an incredibly tough schedule with 6 Power 5 schools. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
And they go 8-5. They were 6-2. They had to play a road game at Wisconsin, at Notre Dame. Then they played a motivated Washington team. BYU should have won that game. So they go 8-5. I want to see if Taysom Hill can't be healthy, play the schedule. And if he's healthy the whole year, I don't think that a 9-win season is is crazy. I think if it's Tanner Mangum and he does what he does, that's also possible. But I just think that Taysom Hill, 5th year athleticism, that hybrid 6th year, gives BYU a shot in every single game on that schedule this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I understand why people feel that way about Tanner and handing the team over. I'm with you. I don't think you cannot, if Taysom's healthy, not put him in there. So let's move away from.
We would regret it forever.
Oh yes.
Can you imagine? Okay, you hand it to Tanner, who's an incredible quarterback. He's going to be amazing. He is amazing. We would say, why couldn't we just see what we did? Because guess what? We'll have 3 complete years, barring injury, of Tanner Mangum playing healthy. He's the guy. He's going to win a ton of games and pass for a ton of yards. Let's just see what happens. If Taysom Hill gets hurt, Tanner Mangum's there. Great. Why not?
Why not? I'm with you. And I think you guys have said this on BYU Sports Nation several times, and I agree with you. There's not – I know some fans are like, well, what if Tanner transfers? Why would he transfer, right? I mean, the timing
– He's not transferring.
Yeah, the timing to transfer is past, because if he transfers now, he's got to sit out of here. So anyway, he's not transferring.
He's not transferring. No.
Yeah, He's not dress free. So other takeaways, what are the big things that you took away in all the interviews that you did for Media Day or other interviews or portions that you saw? What are other big things that struck you as important to take away from that day?
To me, number two was Jamal Williams is healthy. He's bigger, hopefully as fast or faster, and he's hungry. He's hungry, which I think is really important. We forget. We went a whole season without watching Jamal Williams, you know, play for BYU. And BYU ran the ball decently, you know, the last 8 or 9 games there. But at the beginning, wow, it was rough.
It was
Adam Hine broke out in game 3. That was it for him. He was injured. Algernon Brown was, you know, did a nice job. But BYU ends up 111th in the country in rushing. Like, pathetic, right?
Right.
Tanner Mangum carried that team and had a bunch of good receivers. Guess what? A lot of those good receivers are gone. So BYU has to be able to rush the ball effectively. And Ty Detmer has been outspoken about how much BYU is going to run the ball. Like, it's a passing school. BYU will pass. They have a good, solid group coming back on the O-line. Different scheme, but a loaded running back core. This team has got to be able to rush the ball effectively. And if Taysom Hill is, you know, under center there, this team's going to rush for a bunch of yards. In fact, the most BYU's ever rushed for in a season was the last time Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams were healthy and in that backfield together. And that was a record-setting year in terms of rushing yards. So now BYU will rely on that in this new offense as well. So to me, it's Jamal Williams. Like, the coaching staff kept they're pretty conservative in what they're dialing up, which is very smart. You don't want to create expectation without even going out on the field yet. Bronco Mendenhall kind of waited to establish his goals once he had kind of done them a few times in 2006, 2007, and 2008. So this seems pretty, the coach staff's pretty quiet about stuff, but Jamal Williams is definitely number two.
Yeah, that's good to see him. And as always, when he gets interviewed, the entertainment factor is quite high on top of the awesome, awesome football that he will provide. So what, anything else besides Taysom and Jamal?
Yeah, I didn't get around to asking about the kicking situation, which is a concern. Anytime there's a point scorer and you have a huge question mark about a point scorer, which, you know, a kicker, like, you could argue that a kicker is greater than a great defensive end. Like, J.J. Watt in the NFL, does he affect the game more, or does the place kicker? The place kicker does. So that's an area of concern for me. BYU comes out of spring ball with a kid named Matt Baird as the starter, 5'7", 160 or something, and I'm like, he's told us he listens to the show, so I don't want to call him out too much, but it's like, okay, who is this guy? Who's going to be? So that's a question mark I still have after Media Day. Yeah, and then the other one was the fact that BYU goes into this tough schedule. They're not afraid, but I just wonder how they'll manage it because they ran out of gas in game 4 last year. I've been asking this question this summer. When and how will BYU manage that? Because they have an 8-game schedule that's going to be tough,
right,
getting in through September and October. So once they figure that out, we'll just probably see it play out. I don't think they know how to answer the question.
Yeah, I don't. And as we saw last year, you get a bunch of those games in a row, and just the physicality of it becomes an issue, right?
Yeah, and Phil Steele said there was an emotional toll that played out for BYU that I had never thought about, because each of the games was Hail Mary part 2, down to the wire at UCLA. At that point, BYU, they're tired. Now they go at Michigan, who ends up being a 10-win team, should have been 11 if they could punt the ball against Michigan State. So that, think about it. That's the best team BYU played by far.
Yeah.
Last year. And they just ran out of gas. Didn't help that they flew in on Friday morning when the game was Saturday at noon. They should have flown in Thursday night. They're doing the fireside. They're not doing that this year. I think those kinds of things will help. So, it wasn't good. Like, that's a game where Mitch Matthews doesn't play well. BYU doesn't play well. But a game like that makes it so Mitch Matthews is an undrafted receiver and not a drafted receiver. Like, games like that. Okay, here are NFL Jabril Peppers. It's an All-American safety there. Who's going to answer the call? You look around and no one answered it, which is okay. You end up with 9 wins. You almost get 10. I don't expect BYU to, like, dominate on the road against 10-plus win teams. That's all right.
And with a freshman quarterback. I mean, right?
And there was a freshman quarterback there. That is, I think if Taysom Hill's healthy in that game, BYU scores a couple times, but it's probably still 31 or so to 13, 17, 20, even 20.
Well, and of course, Harbaugh and his defensive staff would have planned differently if Taysom had been in the game, for sure. They would have tried to take him away.
Yeah.
So the last thing I'm going to get you out on before you go is there was a quote by Mr. Tom Homo about when BYU joins the Big 12 or a Power 5 conference. I don't think he's ever said that exact phrase before. Of course, it just lit up Twitter with everyone going, see, we're in, and other people saying, no, he just misspoke. Has anything
changed? We're in.
You might have seen some of those where they're like, ah, we're in. It just hasn't been announced. It's a secret. But where, you know, has anything really changed, or do you think that's just been his attitude all along, was the point of independence was to eventually keep us as a free agent until one of the Power Five conferences came calling?
Yeah, I think the initial idea was not to get into a Power Five per se. I think the initial idea was we need to be in a position where we can let our fans see us play. And that was the initial goal. And, okay, we have this beautiful new building. You know, let's use it for BYU TV. Let's give Jerem a job. Let's start BYU Sports Nation. Then we can figure things out after that. I guess I was still working before that. Anyway, so now it is, yes, let's get into a Power Five. And I'm in the... That was just the way that he thinks. Like, he believes that BYU will be invited to a Power Five. So that's why he says when, right? The hopeful single who isn't dating anyone quite yet but expects to be married at some point in the future would say, when I'm married. It doesn't say if. If implies, like, a hopelessness in that situation. So I think it's not wishful thinking. I think he really believes BYU will be invited. Now I personally, that's a different subject, but I hope that BYU is. I don't know that they will be. I think that they will be, but we will see.
Yes, 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 we will see. We will see. Okay, we'll get you out on one last geeky question, Jerem. More highly anticipated for you, new Star Trek movie or Star Wars Rogue One?
Oh, Rogue One by far.
Yeah, not even close for me.
The Star Trek trailer did not do it for me, even though I did watch the first new Star Trek called Star Trek. I think we're watching Into Darkness tonight.
Have you seen them before?
Number two, to get ready.
Oh, you're doing it. Yeah, we're doing the same thing to get ready. We're doing the same thing to get ready. I just don't... I'm with you. The trailer just looks like kind of generic movie action trailer in space. Now, maybe...
Yeah, it looked lame.
Yeah, maybe
I'll still see it, though.
I hope we're wrong, because I just saw Independence Day Resurgence, and I feel like I just want those 2.5 hours back. So,
yeah, that's what I've heard. I'm waiting on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Wait. Do not spend full price like I did. That was
okay.
It was definitely. It's worth a video rental because there's enough nostalgia if you like the first one. But it wasn't like I came out of there. I went with my 17-year-old nephew, and we both came out going, eh.
Yeah, I need Jeff Goldblum to speak to me. I really do.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to speak to you, Jerem. I don't think it's going to speak to you. So, well, thank you for coming on the podcast. Of course, we'll encourage to, as the season gears up, I think we're 60-some-odd days away from kickoff. Keep tuned in to BYU Sports Nation on BYU TV and BYU Radio. And, Jerem, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for the plug, and thanks for the chance to chat.
Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 239, Matt.
Wow. Somebody asked me the other day how many episodes we've done, and I couldn't remember the number exactly, so I just threw out the year that we started, and they were in awe.
It's too big. The number's too big. You can't even count that high.
I'm just going to leave that alone.
So episode 239, back after a week. We will be off next week, too. But then after that, Matt, we will be podcasting from now until, like, March Madness.
Woohoo!
It'll be solid podcasting throughout. So Matt, let's jump into it because there's important things to talk about, okay? All right? Jump into Jason Bourne. The movie comes out July 22nd. I assume your excitement level has remained the same.
Wait a minute. It comes out the 22nd?
Of July.
I thought it was the 29th.
Oh, you're right. It's the 29th. I was thinking Star Trek comes out the 22nd.
Totally freaked me out.
I'm not trying to freak you out.
Oh, my gosh. It's
not done on purpose. Though I'm actually kind of proud of it. But it was an accident. I assume your excitement level has not lessened.
No, it has not waned.
So let me ask you about another geeky movie that a lot of geeks are geeking out about. And that movie is Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Are you interested in Suicide Squad?
I am, actually. It looks like a good movie.
Yes, it looks good. Looks different. Interesting and different. 5th of August. I think, you know, baby's going to come probably a few days before that, so I think it'll be about time for me to, you know, cut loose and go to the theater by myself. What do you think?
I'd like you to let me know how that works out for you.
I'll let you know how it goes. I'll let you.
Did your wife listen to the podcast?
Never. I don't think she's listened to a single episode. So,
all right, I'll just text her quick.
Yeah. You go ahead and do that. I've had her block you on her phone. So,
the only person to do that.
Yeah. Actually, does your wife still listen? We haven't gotten a question from her in a while.
She hasn't listened in a little while, and I gave her a hard time about it the other day. So she may start listening again.
Yeah, or not. She may not, right?
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, there's a good chance there that that she won't. But Matt, let's jump right into our CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So Matt, Tyler Hawes was in the news, the Daily Herald article, talking about, from Becky Beaton of the Daily Herald, talking about, and by the way, I like the Daily Herald's coverage and stuff. I really hate that you have to answer survey questions to see the content.
Yeah, they got to stop that. You got to figure out a different model.
Yeah, you got to figure out a different model. Anyway, Tyler Hawes.
Every single time.
He was in town. He had his first year in Spain. Matt, after reading that and talking about that, talking about, you know, his first year in Spain, I mean, I think at this point he's European bound. Is that, do you disagree with that assessment?
No, that's what he's going to do. He's going to be a European ball player.
And I think he could have a long career over there.
Yeah, he could. He could do really well. And it's a smart way to do it, I think. You know, you can compare it to the Jimmer model, and I'm not trying to say I think Jimmer's making a mistake, but I think you make a really strong case for what Tyler Hawes is doing to just, you know, go after it over there in Europe and play a little bit and get it done, you know, and answer the age-old question, does the rain in Spain fall mainly on the plane?
Oh, boy. Wow. You went there, huh?
We try to weave in movie references. What's wrong?
Yeah, that's true. So Matt, I agree with you. And the difference, of course, Jimmer was a lottery pick and Tyler Hawes was not, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're not really – you can't really compare them – it's not apples to apples.
Yes. Not apples to apples, indeed. Staying with Cougars that are in the pros, Bronson Cafusi on the SB Nation site Baltimore Beatdown, they have him listed as probably not a starter, but he's going to play a lot. After reading that article, Matt, I would say that's probably the most likely outcome. If he's not a starter or as a third-round draft pick, are you going to be disappointed and think it's bad, or are you just going to say, no, I mean, modern NFL players are, you know, on the defensive line, they're rotating in so many guys that being a starter, you know, doesn't necessarily, kind of like basketball, it matters if he's in there at the end of the game, not necessarily that first snap.
Well, and part of it is also, you know, the fact that they're running a 3-4 defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a handful of guys that could start. I think you look at this situation, they probably rotate people in, like you're saying. And Cafusi being a young guy, I think taking a year to crack into the lineup, so there's nothing wrong with that in this situation.
No.
It's not like, it's, you know, it's a little bit different than looking at, if you were in a situation where it was, hey, he's not going to start and he's just going to sit the bench. He's not going to get in. He's not going to play. But I don't think that's the situation here. I think nope. It's a little bit of a committee look for those guys on the D-line.
Well, and we'll see. You know, we'll see. Fall camp, you know, can change everything, right?
Well, and he's missed a little bit of time too,
yep,
right?
Off season.
So some of that may change. You know, once we get into the thick of the season and he's you know, and he gets going full speed, I mean, some of that could change.
Absolutely. Matt, in the former BYU Cougar and former pro, there was a nice article in the Deseret News about Max Hall and how he was been talking about some of his difficulties off the field that he's had while participating in the quarterback elite camp at Lone Peak High School. Lone Peak Park in Sandy last week. Matt, this has been, I don't want to say it a quick turnaround because I'm sure it's been very difficult for Max Hall, but you see him talking about this so openly and stuff. It's good for him, and I think it's good for other players and folks that might be struggling with some of the same things he struggled with.
Yeah, I think it's good for him to get out and to talk to people about what he's been through and kind of where he's been and what he's doing to recover. I think it helps kind of I believe that it helps build a little bit of a support network when people are aware of what you're going through. But it probably to us it feels like quick, right? But to him, I'm sure it doesn't. You know, we talked about this when we were doing our movie. We were like, what would be good BYU sports movies? And you know, and this is one I'm really holding out for in the long haul. I'd like to see him go do some great things, and really turn this thing around. You know, because he's obviously really talented. He was a very talented football player, really talented football mind, could probably do a lot of people good.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. Well, today's episode is going to be almost all about Football Media Day. So we're going to start with the rain on our parade, the cloud blocking our sunshine, Matt. And that's our brother Don on Facebook.
Oh.
He says, should Media Day be in late July, August? Having it this early is just a cruel tease. Matt, do you agree with our elder brother that having Media Day this early is a cruel tease?
Well, way to just throw a wet towel on it, Don, from the outset.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd say it's a cruel tease. I do agree that it feels a little early.
It does feel early. I agree with him. I agree with him there. And it was a week or two later last year. Maybe a week, because I was out there almost for it, but not very much later. I think the problem BYU runs into is if you wait too much longer, we got time on ESPN, right? Because talk about slow media day, right? The NBA's done. It's kind of the dog days of summer, if you will, of baseball. And, you know, we've got Trevor Maddich on ESPN talking about BYU, right? And you don't want to be when all the SEC teams or Pac-12 are having their media days, right? Because you're never going to find the front page. I guess it could be a little later. I don't really care. It's only 60 days till that first game, or 63 days.
You know, 62. You do get out in front of the conversation. The other thing, and I don't know how far in advance they plan this, but you know, they are trying to maintain some of the momentum from the new coaching hire and Taysom coming back. Then you got to find ways to do that, and this is one way to do that. And you're also doing the 1996 reunion show. Has there ever been a better piece of television produced by BYU TV?
And you're going to go there.
You've got all this other stuff going on, and so it's all that probably plays into the timing.
Yeah,
still feels a little bit early to me.
It's a little bit early. I'd agree
and,
with that.
And it's still tough to do a whole media day for a single team. That's hard. That's a lot of, you got to come up with a lot of stuff.
I think, right? I think they do a pretty good job with it though. I think there's enough content where I don't feel like I'm getting a lot of frivolous stuff. Like most of the stuff I saw was at least interesting. Like you said, the 1996 stuff was awesome, but interviews with Taysom, Jamal, the coaching staff, I was pretty impressed with. I didn't feel like it was just like, ugh, I wasted all this time looking at this stuff and I didn't learn or you know, get anything out of it.
Yeah, I agree. And there was, you know, and some of that stuff was fun. I mean, like that 1996 show that they did. Did I mention that I enjoyed watching that?
So, Matt, in honor of you, we're not doing it today, but we will have an episode in July, most likely, where we are going to focus on that 1996 team.
Yes.
So working on a guest or two to participate in that. Stay tuned. But I don't know if it'll be in 2 weeks or maybe 3 or 4 weeks. But as right before we get into our season preview stuff, we will do at if not an entire show, a large portion of a show on that 20th anniversary of that excellent 1996 squad. So, Matt, let's get cracking on Football Media Day.
Let's do it. Oh, boy.
See what I did there? See what I did? It's very clever. It's,
do, you need me, do you need someone to call the doctor?
That's right. I already called the doctor. The doctor is in.
The doctor's making a house call?
Mm-hmm. Ah, there we go. I told you I was giving up soda, right? But then I gave up giving up soda. Did I make that joke already on the podcast? I feel like I did.
I think that you did, but you definitely just made it again.
Yes, I definitely just made it again. We're going to start off with a tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter.
Sweeney.
By the way, he ordered in the our for the crowdfunding for my book. He ordered a signed copy. And do you
Sweeney
know,
did, huh?
Yeah. Do you know how I signed it? He doesn't know this yet, but he's going to know because it's coming in the mail. Sweeney. That's how I signed it. I sign books. Now, granted, I don't sell many, but I do sign a few of them, so that that's something. You can buy my book, by the way, on Amazon. It's called Pete Crosser. Go look it up. I've got one review now, and that person is not related to me.
There you go. Look at you.
Look at that.
I've got it. I'm holding a copy of your book right now in my hands.
There you go. You need to read it and then put a glowing review, 5-star review on Amazon. And if it's below 5 stars, just keep your mouth shut, all right?
You did not sign mine, Sweeney.
I did not sign yours, Sweeney, which that would have been weird. So Justin asks, are we going to get a Bearcat-like breakdown of the Minutemen mascot this year? So Justin is referring to the fact that we had an ongoing debate about what a Bearcat was and whether it was what happens when a bear and a cat mated. I can't even get it out. Mated. M-A-T-E-D. Oh my gosh. We've lost Matt. We may have to edit out like 10 minutes of Matt laughing. So I don't know where Justin's going with the Minutemen thing, but I'm not going there at all. We'll, this is a PG podcast. We're going to stay out of that, Justin, completely, for sure. We do, Matt, have in I was going to pull up the schedule here as I'm trying to stop from laughing. You know, we do have Wildcats, Bruins, Mountaineers, Rockets, Spartans, Bulldogs, Broncos, and November 5th, the Bearcats.
Bearcats!
So we'll have that again. Thunderbirds, Minutemen, of course, Aggies, and I did not leave out the Utes. Well, I did, but don't forget them. Matt, so I'm sure we'll be breaking down lots of mascot funness, but we get to make the Bearcat joke for a whole other season.
The Bearcat joke's great. And you know what I love about Arizona?
What's that?
I remember when we went, when was that game in? Oh, you weren't at that game.
You weren't at that game. It was in Tucson. Yeah, it was in Tucson, yeah. Right?
So, yeah. So at that game, you know, they have that thing where they say bear down. And I'd yell bear down, like there's a bear down.
The Wildcats? Arizona does?
Bear down. Why yeah, Arizona, do they do this thing about bear down.
That doesn't make any sense. They're
like
not bears.
Like you're going to bear down on your opponent?
Yeah, well, that's...
And I would yell, like, up, there's a bear down.
That's ridiculous. Anyway,
those fans didn't really care for me or anybody else from BYU.
No,
but yeah,
no,
we've got we've got all sorts of jokes. We've got some great ones this year.
We got great jokes.
We got blue turf.
Oh, we got blue turf this season. We got Smurf turf. We've got... Bearcats, we've got Minutemen, which is our bunch of jokes we're not going to make. Insert your own joke there. So Matt, that has nothing to do with Media Day, by the way. So we've started off Media Day by basically not talking about Media Day for like 5 minutes.
Well, my favorite is, and we'll get to this one, but the Toledo mascot that looks like the guys from Daft Punk.
Yes, yes. Yes,
there's all sorts of mascot fun in the 2016 season.
We may have to do a video podcast for that one, because I don't know if it works without the visuals right there.
Yeah, probably not.
Or encourage people to open it up on their, you know, not do it while they're in their cars. So, all right, Matt. My biggest takeaway from Football Media Day, and I think everyone will agree, is Kalani Sitake only dresses in royal blue.
Agreed.
Do we just need to plan 2017 season that we're in royal blue all the time? And then it's that it's the dark blue is the alternative jersey. I mean, he only dresses in royal blue.
Well, you think about it, for most of his career, that was what he
all
knew.
All of his career, right?
No, his senior year, they wore the bibs.
Oh, stop it with the bibs. No, really? That's right.
Were they in the bibs his last year?
What year was his last year?
He was Lavelle Edwards' last game.
Oh, was he really? Yes, then they were definitely they weren't in the bibs that year. The bibs were the first year of Croton, but it was the tan and
that's right. They were in the right, that's right, you're right, you're right.
They were in that awful awful tan.
Ugh. I think the bibs were 1999.
You think the bibs were pre-Croton?
I'm going to look that up right now to make sure.
Let's go to 2000 was Lavelle's last year. Is there like a BYUjersey.com?
No, but there's a couple of websites that have done some things on him.
Kalani Sitake's picture when he was a player is awesome. Got like the super curly hair. I mean, he looks like a styling dude. Yeah, 2000 was his last year, Kalani Sitake was.
So here we go. We've got the bibs. I see a bibs appearance. Oh, they don't put a year on it.
Bib. BYU bib uniform. Yeah, those are terrible. Who ever thought that was a good idea?
It was. Remember the Colts were doing
99.
It.
I found it.
It was a Nike thing.
I found it. It was against. I've got a picture of game in 99 against Washington.
Yep.
Good gravy.
No, they were truly awful.
He did. No wonder he's scarred from that year, from those 2 years wearing those terrible uniforms.
They were awful.
Yeah. Yeah. He's scarred. That's why he's wearing the royal blue. Makes sense to me now. So Matt, actual takeaways from there. Let's go look at. There was a lot on Ty Detmer in the coverage. The USA Today ran a story about him being the future in the past. But Matt, I wanted to look at coming out of it that Kurt Cragthorpe of the Salt Lake Tribune had an article, and I'd love your take on this. Do you think it is possible? And by the way, the picture has Ty Detmer with royal blue on too as well. All the coaches were wearing royal blue. I just want to point that out. Do you believe that is it a better than 50% chance that his offense comes out, Ty Detmer's new offense comes out firing against Arizona? Or do you think it's a less than 50% chance that they have a above average game that day? Does my question make sense?
Yeah, but let me say this. There will be no average to compare it to. If you're talking about like average college football offense?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Is it going to be above average
not
offense?
Like yeah, I think they have an above average offense at the Arizona game.
So what are the chances that we walk away and we're blown away by the offense in that first game?
I think if they score more than three touchdowns, everybody's going to lose their minds. They're so awesome. I think they possible. Might. I mean, Arizona's not great. They're going to have no film to study. They have no idea what's coming, really, right? They'll probably find out sometime during fall camp who the starting quarterback's going to be. Spoiler alert, it's Taysom Hill. And so the preparation won't be quite the same. And there's a lot of unknown. So I think there's some chances that we score a lot of points in that Arizona game. And I think what happens is that the expectations that are already on unrealistic levels just get that much worse. But do I believe there's a more than 50% chance that we have an above average offense in that opening game? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're going to see some major struggles, I guess. And whether that, as you point out, Arizona may not be the game, right? Because they won't have been able to see any film. They're not necessarily, going to have an elite defense. Now, again, that could change, right? I think I think that next week against Utah, I think certainly against Michigan State in October, this offense is going to have some games where people are beside themselves while how bad the offensive play, bad the offense plays. I think by the end of the year, everyone forgets that because I think the offense will start clicking at some point, hopefully early. Plus, you know, the middle of the schedule gets a little bit softer, so you might not be facing as tough of defenses. But, gosh, we're grading on a scale there. Boise State's defense is probably going to be, you know, pretty good defense.
September's going to be a tough month, I think, overall for the offense.
Yeah, I agree. May not show in Arizona, but it'll show, Matt. So the receivers, there was an article in the Daily Herald about the receivers. This was from friend of the podcast, Darnell Dixon. And he talked about the go fast, go hard offense, which really didn't exist last year. They did a little bit last year, but it was certainly a spread offense. Now going to this more pro style. And you know, during media day and some subsequent interviews, some of the wide receivers said even in spring, it was a big adjustment. That's not a no huddle. There's going to be a huddle. You know, there's some good and bad things about that, says Colby Pearson, of course, who played in the previous offense. So what's your thought, Matt? I mean, do you think as a wide receiver, this is going to be a big deal? Or do you think this is just mainly going to be a positive because in theory, it's going to be a more pass friendly offense?
I think it's going to be an adjustment, but it can only be positive, right? You're giving them a little bit more communication. You're giving them a little bit more time between reps. I think that while it will take a little bit of adjusting for them, I think it'll be a positive. It's going to be a positive adjustment. I don't think that this isn't the tough one. The tough adjustment is to go from a huddling offense into what they were doing. That's a tough adjustment.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
This is the one that's much easier to make.
I agree. I think this will be easier to make. But there will be adjustments, right? Anytime there's a new offense, there's going to be some of that. So, Matt, sticking on the offensive side of the ball, Jamal Williams, of course, hasn't been heard from much in the last year. He was up front and center on media day. And he is looking to break Harvey Unga's rushing record with, of course, Harvey Unga's assistance, giving him advice along the way. Number one, how awesome is Harvey Unga?
He is pretty awesome.
He's pretty awesome. And, of course, him being there to help him. But, Matt, you know, what does that mean for this offense that has not really had Jamal Williams for kind of 2 years?
Oh, it's awesome. It's a game changer. I mean, he may turn out to be the, you know, statistically, I mean, if he gets the rushing title, right, you make a case that he's the best running back we've ever had.
Yes, I think you could. I think it's hard to beat out Luke Staley's stats, right? You know, just because of his average yard per rush, right? You know, almost 6 yards, and Jamal will not get close to that. But like you said, you know, for volume, if he ends up getting that 900 and whatever yards that he needs, then all of a sudden he becomes, like you said, I mean, it's hard to argue against that.
Right. So you get a player like that back for another season, and that's a total game changer. It changes the entire complexion of your football team.
Oh, absolutely. It's an amazing change for them.
Yeah. And if you even step away from what he does statistically, when you hand him the football, just his personality, his leadership, you know, I think that he's a magnetic personality. People want to be around him. People feel good around him. You know, he's seen some things. He's been through some experiences some of these other players haven't. You know, and I think when you have a player like him who can do the things he can do with the football, everybody becomes more confident. The offensive line becomes more confident. The quarterbacks are more confident. When you have somebody like that, it changes it. You know, I was talking to our brother Don about this the other day. You know, we were talking about, well, you got to get Taysom to, And Kalani had made this comment about, well, we got to get him to step out of bounds and maybe slide a little bit more than he's been doing. And, or, you know, our brother made the comment, well, you know, Taysom's just such a competitor that when he's running, he sees that first down marker, he's going to go for the first down marker because he believes he can get it. But when you have a guy like Jamal Williams in the backfield, you've got to be able to say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to slide because Jamal can get us the rest of what we need for that first down. And with him back there, it changes the way you – it changes everything. The coaches, the way they play call, a player like this changes all of that. So, I mean, I don't think you can overstate what it means to this team and this program to have Jamal Williams back this year. It's just huge. And I want him to break the record. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be fantastic. Matt, BYU averaged almost six yards a rush as an offense in 2013 when Taysom and Jamal were healthy.
Oh.
It was one of the best rushing offenses. Well, I think it goes without saying it was the best rushing offense BYU's ever had. Okay, and I don't think I'm saying something controversial there. It was one of the best rushing offenses I've ever seen. And, you know, Jamal was as big a portion of that as Taysom was. The fact that you had to on that read option that they're running. Now, they're probably not going to run a ton of that, but to try to keep Taysom healthy. But the fact that you have to game plan for both sets of legs. And, by the way, hello, Squally Canada, right?
Right.
Like, if he ends up being what we think he could be, there's a very good chance that you could have another running back either lining up with him or when he's not in there wearing out defenses, right? That's not...
I mean, you're right. Think about what that does on some of these later downs, some of the later in the game, when defenses are looking for Jamal to come out for a couple of plays.
Yes.
But you replace him with somebody who's just as reliable?
Yeah. I mean, you look at that 2013 team. Obviously, it was the Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams show, right? But, you know, nothing against Paul Asike or Algie Brown or Hine or even Michael Elisa. They did not have somebody like the running backs they have behind Jamal. So there's the talent behind him might not be as a big of a drop-off as it was, you know, on that 2013 team, for example.
Right. Agreed.
All right, so Matt, let's go to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
Barry, that's at BarryR13, I believe a first-time tweet bagger.
Well, welcome.
Welcome, Barry. He says, will Jay Swag Daddy's rushing yards be over or under 933 by the Cincinnati game? So he's saying that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games into the season. Matt, is he going to break the record 8 games into the season, going into Cincinnati, I should say. Is he going to break the record before we travel to Ohio to play Cincinnati?
I'm thinking it's going to be after that. I believe that the record will be broken on November 19th.
November 19th against UMass.
Yep.
What's the magic? What's the magic there, buddy?
I think he gets close in Cincinnati, and I don't think he plays much against Southern Utah, and then breaks the record early in the game against UMass.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, that's just kind of like high level finger in the wind type of estimating, just looking at the schedule. I think September is going to be tough. And then the defenses get a little bit better in some respect when you get into October. But I don't know that he'll be quite there I don't know.
I think
he breaks it by Cincinnati?
No, you're asking him to average 116 yards plus per game against the toughest schedule he's ever seen. And some of those defenses will be very good. And some of those offenses will be so good that BYU is going to be playing catch-up, which means potentially less Jamal, right? I'm with you. I just don't think he'll get enough opportunity. I think if we ever get up big, which I don't know before Cincinnati if we'll be up big, okay? but if we ever get up big, I think you'll see less of him, right? So I think there are a lot of reasons why he wouldn't. Now, that being said, if he has one or two massive games in that first set of eight, then yes, he could do it. All it takes is one, you know, 250-yard game to blow our prediction all down, right?
Yeah, something happens where they see something against West Virginia or Toledo or something, right. And they just feed him,
yes,
all day long, and then they have, and that defense has no answer.
Yes, I think that is, you know, Barry's right. I mean, that could be the game. It could be that Boise State game could be the one. I mean, for me personally, I would love it to be Southern Utah or UMass just because it'll be in Provo.
Right.
You know, but those things don't always work out. They don't need to work out that way. They can applaud him in his first carry and that game against Southern Utah if it's at Boise State or Cincinnati. But I agree with you. I don't think he does. Getting that many yards is harder than it looks. He has only rushed for that many yards once in a season. Right? The 933 that he needs, or 53, or whatever the number is.
Right.
He's only done it once in a season. It's not as easy as it looks.
I think he does it.
Oh, I think he does it. I'm just saying, it's not like there's no givens here. There's no, oh, it's definitely going to happen. Because
yeah, and you look at the schedule and think, I mean, that's a lot of yards, and have that done by the first week in November. I mean, that's a pretty steep mountain right there.
Well, so it's 933, right? That's the number?
Yeah, so he's got to average, I think, 77.5 yards per game.
Yeah.
In order to break it over the season.
Which he will. If he stays healthy, he breaks it. I don't think that's the thing. But there have only been 17 seasons in BYU history where a running back has rushed for more than that. You may, well, that's a lot of them. Well, maybe. But, you know, that hasn't, you know, nobody's had that in the last 2 years. So you know, keep that in mind for sure. Let's see, Matt. Anything else on Jamal before we move on?
I love Jamal.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome to have him back. He's a fun player to watch.
I'm so glad he's back.
And certainly very good at playing that game called football. Matt, Taysom said, and I quote, that he would play today if there was a game.
Oh, yeah.
So, once again, he's the guy, right? Right?
Yeah. It's Taysom.
Right? Right?
Right?
Now, we had, and I'll go back in the Wayback Machine on Twitter to Brian Taylor, that's at Boozer Taylor. He and other fans, I've ran into a few people that disagree with our assessment. You know, he says, number one, he makes a few things in Tanner's favor, okay, as the starter. Best freshman QB ever had. Passing accuracy, he thinks Bangham's a lot better passer, but we've said that before, right? I don't think there's any doubt that arm strength and accuracy probably get ticked for Mangum. Hill is injury prone. I disagree with that assessment because I don't know what injury prone means. You know, like I've said before on the podcast, there are a lot of people that were quote unquote injury prone who then went 10 years without having injuries. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. We think that the past will predict the future, but it doesn't always work that way. I'm not discounting. He says we're discounting Hill, Mangum. We're not discounting him at all. Are you?
No, I think Mangum is awesome.
I just think Hill's a one in a lifetime. I mean, twice in a lifetime, I guess. Steve Young would be the other quarterback that.
But once in a football generation.
Yeah, once in a football generation type of talent. You can't. I mean, I don't know if Taysom has the passing skills yet to play at the next level. And he's also old, right? He's going to have that problem. What was that guy out of that old
Brandon Whedon?
Whedon. You know, he's going to have that problem where it's like, well, he's like.
What was that? Drew, was the guy that went to the Cowboys who played minor league baseball for a while?
Oh, Drew Henson.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's going to have that going for him for sure, and some other things. But here's the thing. You can, he gets on the floor and on the field and your offense is a different offense. You can do things that you cannot do with Tanner for all of his skills. And like I said before, I just, you can't pass it up. Now, the thing is, he might get hurt, right? And then you've got, Trevor Maddich said on ESPN, you've got the perfect situation. Matt, is this the perfect situation? Or do you think this is a teapot kettle that's going to boil over and burn us all?
I think it, I don't know if I'd say it's the perfect situation, but it's a good situation. You've got two good quarterbacks, right? And so anytime you have a controversy over which quarterback's going to start, you have one of two problems. You either have problem A, which means you've got two good quarterbacks and nobody's really sure which one to start, or problem B, which is you've got two quarterbacks, neither of whom are ready to start. And in this situation, I think BYU is dealing with the former. We've got two quarterbacks, either of whom could start for this team or many other teams at the Division I level. And you've got a guy in Tanner Mangum who probably isn't the guy, at the beginning of the season, at least in 2016, but is not going to transfer. Because it doesn't do, A, it doesn't do him any good. B, he doesn't strike me as the personality that's going to grow bitter over this.
Yes, I agree.
You know? And I think he'll roll with it because he doesn't really have a choice. Transferring does him no good. It's actually, it's a worse situation. At this point, he'd probably lose at least two seasons.
Yeah, he could lose two seasons. The other piece is, here's the thing, right? If he is so mentally fragile that this quote-unquote ruins him, he's going to falter anyway. Being a QB at this level is very hard on your psyche. There have been some very talented guys that came through BYU that had all the physical tools and then completely floundered, right? It's happened a dozen times at BYU since I've been a fan where there was somebody that was pretty highly hyped, maybe not Tanner hyped all of them, but a couple of them were that hyped, and they end up, they just couldn't handle the pressure or the speed got to them or whatever it was that made them fail. I think Tanner will be fine. I don't think he'll be quote-unquote ruined by this. Now, I expect him to be annoyed by it. I would hope he is, right?
No, yeah, you want, he's a competitor, right?
I will hope he thinks I should be the starter because I think I could win, but I'm with you. I think he'll line up and cheer on Taysom. I don't think there's going to be some divided thing. Now, if we start losing, the fans will get very divided for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if we're if we're losing but we're scoring 28, 35 points, that's a different problem. But like if you're failing to finish drives, we're turning the ball over.
Yeah, if we score like a combined, 20 points in the first two games, right?
Now people are going to start chanting Mangum, right?
Yes, yes, for sure, for sure. They will because as Robbie Bosco once told us on this podcast many years ago when he was on, he got booed in 1985. So. And when he was that's a QB, awesome. And I knew that story because I covered the team that Federick was on, where Federick got booed, and Federick told me that Robbie had told him, hey, they booed me in 1985, the year after I won a national championship, and they booed Steve Young in 1982. Now, granted, he hadn't done a whole lot when he threw six interceptions. The fans will turn on you, even if you're Taysom Hill, Steve Young, or Robbie Bosco.
So let me ask you this, though. So let's say the team comes out in the fall, falters a little bit in September, loses 2-3 games. Who do the fans turn on first? Taysom, Kalani, or Ty?
That's an excellent question. I think the easy thing to do is to, because Ty and Kalani aren't going anywhere, right? They're set. They're going to have 3-5 years. I think five, honestly. To get in place what they want to get in place. Fans won't have that kind of patience, but I think the administration has a much longer leash than fans do.
Oh, I think Satake's got an extremely long leash with the administration, as long as his players aren't getting... It goes back to the Croton thing. Croton didn't get fired for mediocre football.
Nope. He got fired for off-the-field stuff. So that's the thing to me is that I think they blame Taysom. Now, again, it also depends on how we're losing. If we're scoring 28 points a game but giving up 40, well, then maybe it's Satake and or the defensive coaching staff, right? I don't know. I think it could get ugly. Honestly, we've talked about this before. I think even if BYU is 2-2, which I think going into the Toledo game, if you're 2-2, is actually a pretty good result. I think if we're 2-2 going into Toledo, and then that first quarter we're down 10-3 to Toledo, you're going to hear boo birds.
Yep.
I think you will. And I will say on this podcast now and then, that's ridiculous. right? Like, Toledo's probably better than you think. And by the way, you just played four Power Five conference teams, three of the four, I'm sorry, not at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. So, but I think the fans, this is going to be a long season, Matt. And I'm hopeful that we'll get 8 or 9 wins, but it could be a long season. All right, Matt, let's finish off with one last bit of news. Save this to the end so people can shut it off now if they want, because we're going to talk about conference expansion.
Woo!
So I think this is really the strongest, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but the strongest that athletic director Tom Homo has ever been on saying that he wants it to a Power Five conference. Do you agree with that?
It felt that way. I'd have to really think about that to say that for sure, but it certainly felt that way listening to it.
Yeah, it definitely felt that way. And then he said when, and a lot of people, when we joined a Power Five conference, a lot of people jumped on that when word. Matt, do you think that word choice means anything, or is that just, you know, well, of course he's saying when because that's the hope and the plan that he has, even if it never happens?
Yeah, I think he says win because that's his plan. That's his goal. Yes. I don't think he's saying win because he knows something he's not telling us.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
And as confident, as excited about it as he is, I don't know that it changes my opinion on our chances.
No. No, I think your pessimism is well noted, Mr. Pessimistic. Mr. Half is glass empty. Mr. Glass is half empty. There I go.
Half is glass empty.
I'll get there. I'll get there eventually.
Not as think as you drunk I am, yeah, officer.
Just trying to get a little more Dr. Pepper in me. Get that brain working. I don't think the language means a whole lot because I think it doesn't change what they thought, you know, the word when. But I still think they're getting in a Power Five conference. I think when all the chips settle, BYU will be somewhere. I don't know, and likely the Big 12. But I'm an optimist. It's funny on the conference expansion stuff. I'm the optimist, and you're the pessimist. And then when we talk about like seasons, you're always like they're going to go undefeated, and I'm always like 3 or 4 losses.
It's kind of weird that way, but it's because I'm just more realistic about all of it than you are.
Oh boy. Let's go back and look at your predictions for last year. Should we do that?
Hey, listen. We made those predictions with a healthy Taysom Hill.
That is factually correct. All right, I'll give it.
And Jamal.
And
most Jamal. Most of those predictions were made when there was still Jamal.
Yes, because some of them were Jamal.
Oh man, I am so excited that he is back.
I know, it's so awesome. It is so awesome. So Matt, we have coming up. We'll be off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We will be starting at the end of this month, so a couple of episodes away, our season preview.
Oh.
Season preview, Matt.
Are we going to go through the schedule and pick wins and losses for the first of like 400 times this year?
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yes, we will. Maybe we'll do that next episode as our, you know, pre-preview. You know, because you got to have a pre-preview, right?
It's important. You got to warm it up, right?
So then we will have
the skids a little bit.
4 episodes in a row at the end of July and first 3 episodes in August, which will be preview shows for the season. And then, of course, our last show of August, we will be previewing an actual football game.
Oh, we're almost there. What are we, 60 days away?
I just looked it up. We are, as we are recording this on Tuesday night, we are 59 days and 22 hours away.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm sorry, 23 hours.
I miss you so much, college football. Please come back.
It's coming back. It's coming back. So you'll be all right. You'll be all right. So anyway, Matt, thank you everybody for downloading and listening. Definitely check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/riseandshout. On Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. You know, go see about my book, Pete Crosser, on Amazon. Search for it there. And maybe you'll be the second person to put in a review. Thanks for downloading and listening. Thanks for hanging in there with us. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
get in, but don't look down. 'Cause I'm on top of the world.